What's happening? Welcome in, J. Martin Ramon, on this Wednesday morning. NFL schedule release Wednesday. Schedule releases this evening, and it's going to release weirdly. I don't know if we're just going to be spoiled at like 5 o'clock or not because of the networks. Fox is releasing their Sunday night stuff on their own programming. I think on Fox News. CBS is releasing stuff on Good Morning, I believe, on their week one at least. So, like, we might have some idea of some of this long before we actually get to the big time schedule release later on. But it's just fun. And football is to a degree where people are going to sit around and they're going to start to talk about a schedule. We're going to talk about a list of games that are going to be played. They're basically going to look at a television schedule and they're going to discuss that for hours on end. It shows that football is king in this country. That's how we welcome you into J. Martin Ramon on this Wednesday. At J. Martin Ramon on Twitter. 11-year NFL veteran, Vol for Life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer joining me. I'm Jason Martin. We're with you until 10 a.m. today. Mom, what's happening?
Man, nothing. I'm actually looking forward to the schedule release simply because I don't have to play it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what games I can enjoy, we need to travel to, where we need to be, and how some teams will go through the gauntlet and some will simply... I don't say cruise through, but you know the teams that get an opportunity to cruise through. So this will be I'm very interested in this year.
Well, any prediction? Any kind of a guess?
Any guess, man? Nothing off top. I'm thinking
week one Titans opponent. Literally, there's no. We're not going to debate this because there's no reason to know. Mm-hmm. You're just picking one of the teams you know that this squad is playing this year.
Yeah.
I said yesterday, I just threw a shot in the dark out there and just said for some reason my mind keeps going to the Jets.
Yeah.
Titans new look defense against rookie quarterback, maybe Zach Wilson. That's where I am on it. I can see that. I could see Arizona. Those are two matchups I could see.
Damn my Arizona. I think the Jets will be a really good opener. If it's the Jets in the opener, I'll say this. It'll probably be a nationally televised game for the Titans, too. It'll be really interesting to see. I think they would want to highlight the young rookie in the Jets and also see what the Titans got. You got Taylor Lewan coming back. You got, of course, Derrick Henry. You got the new-look offense in the sense of a new OC. You also got the fact that, look, there are some missing parts, and people want to see the Titans be able to play without those missing parts. That's Corey Davis. That's Jono. If it's the Jets – on the road, I think it could end up being, what is that, a 315 game here, 305 game? I'd actually love to see that. More than anything, the young quarterback and seeing what Tannehill does against him. Tannehill's got to get to a point to where he's almost, well, he is an OG in the game right now. I want to kind of see him, rip off a young rookie's neck and just crap down their throat a little bit simply Whoa. Because – I'm just saying, in a sense of like, hey, I own you.
You talk about choosing violence, Good Ramon. Lord. Come on, it's
hey,
graphic.
I'm telling you this. If there was a young Thundercat, a young D lineman coming into the league, dog, I got to get you right now because you might learn a little something over the years to where you might get me later. So,
someone was reading breakfast, bro.
I don't know if you ever need to go full metal jacket at 6:05 a.m.
My bad, you're right. I'm going back to the old me.
That's demerit.
I'll be ready.
Go back to the old me.
That's exactly what I was doing, man. You got to be able to state your dominance against these type of guys. I feel the same way about Trevor Lawrence, too. He may as well. This Titans defense, if they don't get him now and we expect him to be as good, you'll never have that opportunity again, man. So, hey, I like seeing this type of stuff. That's football. That's one thing you can do here is, hey, all right. Pat him on the back of the head. You know that little doot-doot at the top of the head? Like, yeah, you got to be able to do that, Tannehill. Even though you don't even play against him, that's what I'm looking for. I'm choosing violence.
You were choosing violence. I mean, you're a drill sergeant at 6:05 a.m.
He's choosing Kill Bill-level violence.
Yeah, like easy.
Easy.
Okay, all right. John Wick, relax over there, okay?
All right, okay. We'll just throw darts at him. That's cool. But in New York, on the road, Titans on the road, man, it'd be huge.
So we've got Josh Ward from Knoxville. We'll talk some SEC, some Tennessee with him in the next hour of the program. But we've got Double J, our good friend Jeff Jarrett, My World Podcast blowing up. We're going to bring him on. We're going to chat about its early success And just who knows what shenanigans we'll get in with Jeff Jarrett in the final hour of the program today. But around that, yes, of course, we're going to talk about the Titans. The Athletic piece ranking the Titans 20th in the NFL.
What the what?
Is that even playoff worthy?
No, it is not.
I didn't think so. It's 14 teams, right?
Last I checked.
Yeah, it's 14 teams.
And usually there's probably a better team than one of the division winners. But even then, you're still looking at like 15.
Still fighting through. Like 20th puts you outside looking in.
I think that, well, I don't know. We're going to have to look at the entire league and determine whether or not 20th is even close to right. I would say most of our listeners are going to disagree, but we're going to get to that.
Of course.
Also, the Oakland Athletics. I don't know that they're ever going to leave. It sounds like a ransom move.
It is.
Trying to get themselves a new stadium.
But I mean,
where if I'm Oakland, I'm kind of like, yeah, go ahead and leave. All these stadiums are such boondoggles all across the country. A lot of money has been lost in a lot of these stadium situations. My prediction is they're going to be in Vegas in 3 to 5 years. But it's not an immediate thing, but I think Vegas is probably the likelihood. Even though Portland would make a strong case. Vegas, because of gambling, whether you like it or not, it seems like the way. It seems like that's mm-hmm. where everybody is looking right now because of the obvious tie-ins.
And Vegas, it found money for the Raiders stadium. That was a number thrown out yesterday about this Oakland stadium. A number just thrown out. I'm like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but the highest paid, the highest costed a stadium now is like $5 billion.
I don't know, but
I think it's the Rams or either the Raiders.
That stadium. That's that or Vegas are probably the
one,
most.
Okay.
Jerry World before that.
They're about 5 to 7 for America's most popular sport, football. Okay. Well, also they're saying that the Raiders will have a club also inside, of course, inside the stadium. But you got a baseball stadium asking for $12 billion for this?
Like I said, I would tell them to not let the screen door hit them on the way out.
$12 billion, like I'm all for a good time and I like nice things. Jay, you like nice things. Shafe, you like nice things. But $12 billion for what, the second most popular sport in America? Or third?
Third, probably.
Third. Would a B? Golly. And maybe that's Cali prices, but $12 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell them kick rocks too.
Yeah. Like I said, I tell them to bounce.
God dog. That's that's pushing it to me, man.
And again, 15 years from now, well, we've got to upgrade or we're going to leave. Like you did just again, once they see you running, they're never going to let you stop.
Never going to let you stop. I like that.
So again, Vegas is the one that makes the most sense because Vegas seems to have money to burn right now.
Yeah, they do.
And with the gambling tie-ins and mm-hmm. DraftKings and everybody, you know, having the money to spend on sports right now. Vegas is just an obvious, easy answer. I know Montreal would like to have a team back. I know Portland would like to have a team mm-hmm. back. I see Louisville still wanting to get past the bats and move into that role Louisville? As well. Yeah, I mean, it's a great baseball town, and they've wanted MLB for a long time. There's a lot of markets that could do it. And, of course, it opens up the debate again about Nashville mm-hmm. and whether or not baseball is right for this city. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you're going to have four teams in Vegas, but you've already got two. You got the Golden Knights, and you've got the Raiders. So baseball could be the next one, even though I think there's probably more money spent on basketball mm-hmm. in the sports betting landscape these days. They've still got time.
But it's to that point you said about Vegas, though. So I think it was Alan Bell on with 3HL yesterday, and it was talking about who was it that posted it? It may have been him or 3HL talking about how quick Tennessee, of all people, got to $1 billion in bets, man. We're talking about Tennessee. I mean, imagine what Vegas is doing as far as just like in-city bets. And I mean, just being able to be there and I don't know if you want to call that raise money, spend money, whatever the case may be, but they will be funded clearly. Vegas, like you said, did flawlessly with the Knights. The Raiders and that magnificent just arena that they have. That is a trip that's worth taking too, guys. The Vegas, if the Titans are going out there sometime soon, what is the AFC West? When are they on the docket? Are they on the docket this year as far as? Nope, not this year. We got to find time, guys, in the recent future to go to their Raider Stadium. I think that would be an awesome road trip. That would be an awesome road trip. I want to see the inside of that stadium. I'm acting like a kid with these stadiums now, especially the new ones. Except for that $12 billion one that Oakland is trying to get right now, the A's.
That's a preposterous number. Yeah. I know that in baseball stadiums, I think, generally need to be made smaller these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think you make a cool environment for not limited where you're always have spillover, mm-hmm. but where you almost are filling that thing and you put the money into what's going on inside instead of another 15,000 seats that aren't going to be filled. There's too many games. Most of these baseball stadiums aren't getting filled anywhere close.
Yeah.
Not even close. And some of them look embarrassing.
That's why they're putting nightclubs in them now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they have to add all these amenities and all this stuff. How about you just fix that on the front end? Just make it state-of-the-art on the inside, but make it mm-hmm. state-of-the-art for 30,000 people max. Or even less if you're in the right market. If you have a great intimate atmosphere that's loud with 23,000, then why not do that?
Right. It makes the most sense, you would think, but the bigger the better. And you know, it all always goes down to what else can we host here? I think the Rams have like a world-class art exhibit in theirs, which, I mean, that's L.A., and you kind of expect that type of stuff.
I mean, I'm not going to the Rams stadium to check out art, but I'm not going anywhere to check out art.
Yeah.
I can't stand high-end art.
Really?
Yeah, because I just don't get it. I don't get standing around saying, well, here's what the author or here's what the artist intended.
I would
it's a painting.
I would probably enjoy that type of just to see it, the history of it, especially being preserved through wars and just a long amount of time. That would be an awesome thing to see. And of course, they always talk about how it's protected. Who is the Mona Lisa is behind it's protected so many different ways, man. It's pretty wild. Actually, really, really wild how that breaks down.
So, article in the, San Jose Mercury News, quote, well, now I've lost it because of stupid paywall. Hey, do you want to log in to read this? Nah, we're cool. We're good. Trying to quit, but thanks, though. It says the A's relocation threat is more bark than bite. Again, they're just trying to shake down the city and the taxpayers to get this new deal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying no to that stuff more often than they used to. If you don't, like the Oakland A's, are you really going to relocate? And if you do, again, I would call their bluff on it. If they leave, then okay, I guess we played that one wrong if we really wanted the Oakland Athletics. It would suck to lose them in Oakland, but $12 billion?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Hey. I have no idea. Considering they just lost a main attraction with the Raiders. I mean, do they love baseball enough to actually put up that much money? I doubt it. I think just spending $12 billion for a stadium period is doing a bit too much. Are you going to host a Super Bowl out of it? Is that a question to be had?
No, because baseball stadiums don't have enough seats.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's just no way. Of course, the A's statement, a message to our fans, and they're sending that out to the fans, but the money's not involved, not listed in that article. Like the letter that they're sending to fans from the A's front office, that doesn't have a dollar sign attached to it at all.
It's like Aaron Rodgers.
It's just like, we need a new stadium to keep up with the Joneses. Can you give us $45 billion?
It's like Aaron Rodgers right now. Nobody's saying anything, but everybody's saying something. Hey, I like it. I'm here for it.
I see no reason why you have to spend $12 billion.
No, I don't either.
And I was trying to find that number because I hadn't seen that number, but I don't see it in any of the articles that I don't have to pay to read.
To put it in context, too, just Brian McClain on YouTube TV said the new Yankee Stadium in 2009 cost $1.5 billion to build.
Right.
And that's the most expensive baseball stadium. The A's don't have a reason to go $10.5 billion more.
I would tend to agree with you on that. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. So that's one money story. The other one's a lot funnier. The Popsicle story is a lot cooler.
Yes, it is.
I'm a much bigger fan of the Popsicle story than I am the Oakland Athletics relocation shakedown.
Much cooler.
Much. Okay. I thought puns are flying.
I thought that's what you meant when you said it.
No. Nope.
There we go.
I wish I had because it's clever. It's the kind of thing I would do.
Not this morning.
Nope. 615 737 1045. on Twitter at @JMartinRamone. Off and running on this Wednesday here on 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin Ramone, 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us here to get your Wednesday morning started. Jason Martin, Ramone Foster, Jonathan Schaefer. Boys with you till 10 a.m. on Twitter at @JMartinRamone. So, what was your favorite popsicle growing up?
The red, white, and blue one's always pretty good.
The bomb pop?
Bomb pop. Or a regular old just freeze pop. You know what I'm saying? In the long tube, that one's always pretty good. I would say something extravagant like the old Taco Choco. Nutty Buddies.
Drumsticks.
Yeah, Nutty Buddies, probably the OG Flavor Rites. Popsicle is always good. The stick one that you always see at cookouts and stuff like that. Those are always the best.
Mickey Mouse ice cream bars.
Mickey was cool. The Snickers ice cream bars always awesome. Like,
there's a lot of good ones.
It is. The Nutty Buddy though, drumstick. Yeah, yeah. That one's an easy go to. Ice cream sandwich, if we're talking about.
Oh yeah.
Easily. All right.
Klondike bars.
Those were, man, as a kid, I probably only had those like one or two times because I was too infatuated with what the Nutty Buddy looked like or getting a Snickers one or something.
Now, now if you just want to eat great sugar, at least you get tasty sugar if you eat the Outshine bars.
What's that?
Fruit bars.
Oh, yeah. The fruit bar, yeah.
Push-ups.
Push-ups, always. The sherbet ones. Yeah. Flintstones.
See, I had push-ups before the Flintstones. Had push-ups when they just had the dots on the side.
Oh, yes.
Cardboard deal with the, red and blue and all that stuff.
I was in that world, too, man.
Yeah.
100% in that world.
We saw Slay eat Dippin' Dots on Saturday.
I'm talking about hawked them down.
Because it was in a bag. I always thought they were in little.
Yeah, they make them now. Well, yeah, they pour them in a little plastic cup.
Look like space food or something.
Between him and my son Miles, they would go through Dippin' Dots like nothing, man. And by the way, Dippin' Dots are cool. I understand why.
Never had a Dippin' Dot in my life.
Never had a Dippin' Dot.
And Slay's like, don't do it. It'll ruin your life. Like he's giving me a scared straight and I'm in jail.
Like Dewey Cox, don't do this, Dewey. Mm-hmm. Well, what does it do? Mm. It just tastes awesome. That's basically what Ron was trying to tell you.
Schaefer, what's your ice cream of choice? Or your confection, your dessert confection of choice? Ice cream's a separate. That's a separate debate.
Yeah, ice cream is its own thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We have a restaurant up in Gallatin. There is a little Shake Shack place up there that has the cookie ice cream sandwich deal.
Oh, yeah.
You can't beat
those
that.
Those things are fantastic.
Like fresh baked cookie?
Yeah, the one.
It's like cookie with vanilla ice cream slammed in the middle
right.
of it. Right,
and it's at least 3,000 calories, and you don't want to move 100%. Off the stool once you're done, but it's so worth it. I think it's called the Cookie Monster, but it's phenomenal.
My hands down go-to ice cream from just if you ask me wrong, you can only have one ice cream all your life from Dairy Queen, the Georgia Mud Fudge. Phenomenal. Brownie, pecans in it. It is.
I was a little more basic at Dairy Queen. I was just an Oreo Blizzard guy and then an M&M Blizzard guy or something like that. Like if I was going there, because unlike we can get into the physics of it all.
Yeah.
McFlurries, because McDonald's vanilla ice cream is one of the greatest things in all of just fast food.
When it's working.
Yeah, that's the problem. The other thing is the McFlurry uses that same ice cream, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting a pretty good deal, except that they only put the stuff on top. It never mixes through. Get to the bottom and you're just eating vanilla ice cream. Now, it's good vanilla ice cream, but you're like, why can't you what Dairy Queen does where they hand it to you, turn it upside down, and there's all sorts of cookie in the bottom of it and everything like that? That's the way to do it here. A Sonic Blast,
Sonic Blast.
I'm still more a Dairy Queen guy.
Yeah, I'm not racing the Sonic for ice cream like that. But I'll tell you this, when they finally came out with those, I'm not sure how long they have been on, but the Route 44s, Ocean Water, and all those cherry limeades, I just think distinctly remember in the 90s, it being a thing. And maybe
Sonic. Yeah.
The Route 44.
They had this strawberry slush that had pieces of strawberry in it.
Yeah.
And I used to get all the time when I decided I was going to die by 40. and literally got one of those every afternoon. Biggest one. And it would take me through the afternoon to work, whatever job I was on at the time.
Yeah.
Really good. No, that's not how you're supposed to live your life.
Nah, that's a treat.
But yeah, you know, ice pops and all of those things, like the ice cream truck back in the day when you were a kid mattered. Mm-hmm. I think Mickey Mouse ice cream bars. Though. I think Mickey Mouse ice cream bars became my favorite because of the ears.
Because of the ears? Yeah. When we're at the baseball tournaments, you want to talk about capitalism? Every single time, at least during the hot months, the ice cream truck is coming through the parking lot. And you see kids' heads turn, adults too. Like, oh. You're here. Like, yes, I am. You get a concession stand that you got to overpay for and an ice cream truck in one weekend. Some people consider that a win. Some people consider that highway robbery, Jay.
What I have not had is a SpongeBob SquarePants popsicle.
I didn't even know they were making those.
Me either, but I should have.
We should have. I had no idea. It's popular.
Now, I don't know if those are popsicles, if those are ice cream bars. Because I look at it because I see the photo of the kid eating it with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know if this is ice cream or what, because it looks like yellow, white, red. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like a popsicle to me. It looks more like an ice cream bar. I'm going to have to look it up to figure out exactly how this confection is made. But Noah Bryant, how old is Noah Bryant?
What is he, 9, 10?
4-year-old.
He was 4?
4-year-old.
Come on.
From Brooklyn, New York. Accidentally, and I say that with air quotes, because when you're 4, nothing's an accident, because you can get away with a lot.
Yes.
He ordered accidentally 51 cases of SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles from his mom's Amazon account. That's 918 individual popsicles.
This is crazy, man.
$2,618 worth of popsicles.
Jay.
There was a time when I was a kid at daycare, and I'd just be like, that's the dream right there. That's the dream.
What's crazy about this, I tell Keisha this all the time. Whenever we're shopping at Sam's, you know, you go down the aisles, you see all the store, mm-hmm. like, bulk candy. Mm-hmm. And all I can remember is when I was a kid, I was like, man, I can't wait till I'm grown. I'm buying all of this. I've yet to buy any of it, Jay.
These giant bags of gummy worms and stuff like that. You're just like,
I'm buying it.
I don't think I can do that. As you get older, you're just like pushing kid you out the way. I'm going to get these almonds and get out of here.
Well, here's a kid that did what we never could do, Jason. How much again?
$2,618.85 worth of SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles.
I really got a lot of questions behind this. Who has that many popsicles in stock?
It's a fair question, because I don't know how many are going out the door at a regular time, like combined.
Of one type of ice cream? Like, you got to think, how many would they sell in a day in the summer? Maybe 10, depending, like, of that particular
First off,
kind?
I know you can get them to you cold and all that. But see, then you've got to make sure you're at home on time. Because if you're getting them delivered in the summer and you're in like a warm area. Now, he's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it's a time of year where they can stay cool. But can you imagine getting them and then getting $2,600 worth of melted SpongeBobs?
That's what I'm saying. Did it come on a freeze truck?
Like I said, I'm looking at them and I need to find out, like, is this marshmallow? Like, what exactly this is? Anyway. Amazon not taking them back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why, because Amazon's never turned down a return from me.
I'm talking about they have that printout slip every
Literally,
single
all
time.
You have to do is say defective.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
You'll be able to print out a return slip.
I mean, the hassle that it takes for them not to take it, they're just going to take it.
Yeah.
But apparently, 51 cases of SpongeBob popsicles, they're not going to take back. The mother, Jennifer Bryant, mother to 3 boys, full-time social work student at NYU.
Mm.
No idea how she was going to pay for $2,600 worth of popsicles.
No.
Since Amazon wouldn't take them back, which I still am kind of surprised by. So anyway, they set up a GoFundMe page, one of his classmates. And now they've raised over $25,000. more than 9 times the goal. So what happens to the rest of the money? Does that just go to them?
They pay taxes on it and keep it,
at which point,
man.
This is the smartest child ever?
That's what I'm saying. Look how happy he is in this picture. You see what Dylan Brown just said on YouTube TV?
Here we go. Listen to this. Yeah, I did see that. And we'll get to it here. As a parent to a child, all additional donations will go towards Noah's education and additional supports. We cannot thank you enough for the extra $21,500, $22,000, truly. Now, he is a child that has, he's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
So he has some degree of autism, according to the news article. But $2,618 worth of SpongeBob popsicles is the ultimate impulse buy.
Yeah.
Like, that's an impulse buy.
That is a big time.
For me, I get like one box of like Halo Top Pops, and I'm like, pushing a little bit today, but I'm going to take this $5.
No, exactly. This story is so genuine and just kind of
cool.
It's
just real.
So I clicked on the profile in the article, and I'll put it in our Slack too. But the mom, her Instagram is amazing_mii. Is her name. And she's posting a picture of him standing on top of the boxes with the SpongeBob ice cream pack. Like, and the location, in a pineapple under the sea with SpongeBob. This is a great play right here.
Stop it, dark gal. Halo top, someone showing Brentwood money.
And choosing violence, man. Wednesday brings it out of you.
I safely shop Halo Top, too. I find out when it's on sale, and then I get like 4 or 5 pints of it.
They calling you out, Jay.
So the SpongeBob SquarePants popsicle is made by Popsicle Brand, which is actually the one that me and my parents would still get. We get the sugar-free, the three. Mm-hmm. It's grape, cherry, and orange.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fudge sickles sometimes. Or the creamsicles when they still made those sugar-free. But the SpongeBob SquarePants Popsicle is a refreshing frozen fruit punch and cotton candy flavored treat.
Oh.
So it is a popsicle.
Mm-hmm.
One bar has 14 grams of sugar in it and 25 grams of carbs. So really, it could be worse. Mm-hmm. But it's 100 calories. I'm just trying to figure out how... You would think that Amazon would have some kind of a trigger mechanism in their system where they send you an email and they say, are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Nah. That's exactly what they want.
We're not taking it back. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Somebody just wanted 51 cases. We need that space cleared over in the corner by the cooler.
Man, you got to think.
Send them out.
Bezos can't buy his super yacht that also has a baby yacht next to it with those type of restrictions, Jason. Come on, man. This man got to live. This is the top of the top when it comes down to it.
So I got to read. I wanted to read the reviews of it on Popsicle's website from people.
Impulse buys, man.
Yes. My sons love these Popsicles, but the last 3 times we have purchased them, there have not been any gumball eyes. This can be pretty devastating to little kids. They taste great, but please remember to include gumballs.
They're not wrong. In
you want to talk about a first world problem.
That is
hilarious.
Oh, man.
First off, I didn't know the eyes were gumballs.
I didn't either. The popsicle the kid has is actually pretty interesting, man. It's actually well put together, too. They're usually all like screwed faced up and stuff like that.
I love these, and so do my kids, but today I purchased these, and one of them was half a popsicle. As you can see, it had not been bitten or anything yet in the photo. My son was so disappointed. Of course, not for long, because he still ate it, but y'all got to do better, guys. Also, my daughter said the gum tastes like plastic, but again, she still ate it. Ha, ha, ha. Have a good day.
That's kids. It don't matter.
You know what? I'm not sure that needed to be written, whoever you are. And there's another person. The eyeballs there is an inconvenience. The eyeballs not being there is a letdown.
Clearly the eyeballs.
Quality control in the SpongeBob popsicle plant lacking. But it got us to kind of just, we mentioned it being an impulse buy. We were just kind of sitting here and we were thinking about the dumbest, most preposterous impulse buys that we've ever had.
I got a few.
I've probably got one before the end of the day.
I got a few for sure. Yeti gets me every time.
I have way too many cups and not enough beverages to drink.
If you're watching on YouTube TV, I have this.
You have a taller version of that too.
See what I'm saying? They're calling it lobster orange or whatever it is. This is clearly UT orange, okay? And they got me. Okay, they got me real good. And I bought it, and I got the wife one, and I'm just like, you know what, Mom? You got to do better, man. We got to do a whole lot better with this Yeti addiction that you got going on. Those Cole Haan shoes, and every, dude, no lie, almost every late fall, Nike releases their new track suits and stuff like that.
You're a tracksuit guy?
I'm terrible. Like the fleece joggers, terrible. I'm talking about absolutely the horrendous with Nike. They get Nike, Yeti, and Cole Haan's get me every single time. That's my guilty indulgence. I can't lie.
I mean, I'm with you. Like, I've got a Hydro Flask and four Yetis.
Yeah.
I gave them out as groomsmen gifts at my wedding a few years ago as well, and of course got myself one amidst that time. I got Abby one. Now I gave you guys the J. Martin Moments for Christmas. Now those are different.
Mm-hmm.
If we had those in a merch shop, we would be selling those things. And coffee mugs is another one that's just kind of, I'm always looking for a coffee mug, but I realize I don't have anywhere near enough room for that. Like, not even close. What are you doing, Raymond Fister?
Raymond Fister.
Where did that even come from?
I have no idea.
Jamar, what's your first reaction when CG swallows her first quarter, rock, marble, or magnet? What are we talking about here?
No,
we're talking about popsicles.
Talking about impulse buys and popsicles, man.
I bought three Nintendo Switches. I don't own any of them.
What?
At three different times, I'm like, I'm gonna get a Switch again. Then I realized I just don't have time, or I don't want to sit down and think too hard.
Yeah. Another impulse buy of mine, just because I wanted it, the PS5.
Yeah, I mean, I have a PS5 that I haven't done anywhere near as much with as I thought I was going to. Every day I look at it, I'm like, I'm going to play Miles Morales today. Never actually happens, because I'm just sitting there streaming something, or I'm reading a book, or I'm just sitting there with my family, and I think I've hit that age where there's too many buttons.
I'm not there. I just used to be able to dedicate so much more time to my gaming. Now I can't do it at all. And here I am with this still highly sought after PS5. I don't even know if they're selling them in the stores yet.
Yeah, I've never just seen a box, but I'm sure they probably are. So what's the worst impulse buy that you've ever made? That's coming off of this popsicle story.
I got another big purchase. I've got a bunch of them.
615-737-1045. 737-1045 on Twitter at Jmart and Ramon. Your most embarrassing, or the one you regret the most, maybe, or just the biggest swing that you've ever taken from the impulse buy. So we don't need I bought chapstick along with my groceries. I mean, I bought an iPad along with my groceries. Be right back. It's J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. J. Martin Ramon, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. On Twitter at J. Martin and Ramon. Letting him roll here. Spartan 465, my impulse buy was five Star Wars Funko Pops when I needed to pay a bill. The good news is you have that Yoda sitting on a shelf somewhere right now. The big ones, which are $30 each, he says. So he paid $150 on Star Wars Funko Pops instead of paying a bill. So he's sitting there in the dark, but during the day he can see those.
What the what?
I didn't even know what that was, man.
You know what Funko Pops are?
Nah,
I used to have, I don't think I've ever had more than 15, but I kept like four, and I've still got them. Oh, Lord. Let it go. Because Mike is in Cleveland. Of course he is. Mike, what's up?
What's up, Sam?
What's up?
What's going on?
Everything is lovely. Y'all having a blessed morning so far?
Yes, indeed.
That's what's up. Hey, real quick, before I get to my impulsive buy, I just got to give my daughter another shout out. She won all district. She won all district last night, man, on top of having a grand slam and a home run to you know, get Oakland to win the night before, man. So congratulations. Thank you for listening.
Nice.
I love you, baby. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
But my impulse to buy, I'm going to tell you straight up, I got a problem buying survival gear, man. My old lady can tell you, but I got a corner in the dining room that's full of rope, batteries, just all kind of, it might seem useless, but it makes me feel good. But the worst one I got, and I never buy anything on Facebook because of this, they was advertising on Facebook a shovel that would turn into a knife and a fire starter and all this other stuff. I was like, looking at it like, babe, I'm going to get this. We're going to need this one day. Man, it got to the house. That thing wasn't up by about a foot and a half long. It couldn't dig a dog poop, let alone dirt. It was the worst thing ever, man. So if you're looking at that shovel on Facebook, don't buy it. Trust the cuzzo. I'm telling you, don't get it. Y'all stay blessed, man. Peace.
All right, Mike.
I've got a question that stems out of that call.
You don't say.
There's several that stems out of that call. He's just dating his gal now.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be calling the gal that you're dating your old lady. I'm wondering when it's appropriate, if ever, to call your significant other your old lady.
If you're on stage doing stand-up with a brick background, you should call her a battle axe or an old lady.
Absolutely.
Old lady. Depending on your age.
Look, if she's okay with it, fine.
But that's his terms, though. I feel like they, like, she understands my old lady.
I get it.
I get where you're coming from with that.
I mean, it's not really even seen as a negative.
Oh, no. It's just funny. It's just a very antiquated term.
It is.
It's just funny.
It is. Wouldn't call her old maid. Josh and Dixon. That's a good card game. We're talking about card games, too, instead of sports. Josh and Dixon's next. Josh, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Morning.
So about 3 years ago, I needed a new car. I had one, but it, you know, wasn't all that great. So impulsively, I bought the first car that I found, which is a 2009 Chevrolet Aveo. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I paid $1,700 down, traded in the car I had, which they gave me about $1,200 for, and I still owe about $9,000 on this car.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. Wow. That is impulse right there. Cars, I've gone down that lane too. This is
I haven't because I've never had the money to impulse buy a car.
I'll be honest with you. I impulse.
That's a problem I've never had before, quite frankly.
Bought a car, man.
A book that I might not read, yes, many times. I have a bunch of books. I can't wait to buy a new one, but there's like five at home I haven't read. Hats, yeah. At times I can have a bit of a hat problem. I got a bit of a problem with like certain clothing brands, a few extra shirts I probably didn't need and stuff like that. But cars, I don't just have spare just chilling, hanging around. Cousin Josh, you go to timeout. Cousin Josh on Twitter says, impulse buy I regret the most, my ex-wife.
That's
at least
cold,
he said bro. Ex-wife.
I'm gonna tell you about my impulse buy after the break, man. This is it was two cars actually. Got it.
615-737-1045. 737-1045. There's at least one game that we know of that's about to be announced on Fox News. The first afternoon game, America's Game of the Week for Fox, that has leaked on Twitter. We'll tell you what that is. Today is NFL schedule release day, which means we're just kind of sitting around waiting because we know the teams, we don't know the order. That's the other thing that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're learning who you're playing. You're just learning when. That's what the schedule release is. So we will jump into that story, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more Tebow, but we'll see. Josh Ward coming up in 25 minutes from over in Knoxville. We'll talk Vols with him. Hour number one down, three still to go. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.